I want to start just by reading the scripture for today. I don't usually do that, but I think it kind of sets the stage for where I feel like God wants to take us this morning. So we're in John 1, 35 through 42. It's a pretty short passage, so just read it and then we'll get on our way. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And this is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look at the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about four in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. As I was preparing this sermon this week, for some reason I was thinking about The Hobbit. Probably because I really wanted to see that movie ever since it came out. I read the book when I was younger, and I am a Lord of the Rings fanatic. I have all three of the extended versions, which range anywhere from 4 hours all the way up to 5.5 hours long. And several years ago, I watched all three of them in one day with a couple of friends of mine, and it was a long day. And so as I was thinking about this, I don't know if I got excited because there were actually parallels between this passage of Scripture and The Hobbit, or because I really wanted there to be, so I stretched it to make it fit. But I really think that there are a lot of parallels to this. And I actually got to see the movie with Chasley yesterday. And for those of you that haven't seen it or haven't read the book, spoiler alert, I'm going to give some of it away. Sorry. Dustin's covering his ears back there. So The Hobbit is about a little guy, a hobbit, named Bilbo Baggins. And he's an ordinary guy. He lives in the Shire, which is the place where all the hobbits live. And to me, it would be kind of like living in rural Iowa. Nothing ever happens. They kind of just stick to themselves. A lot of them are gardeners or farmers and, you know, just kind of like the normal life. Not a lot of exciting things happen. They like getting up, doing their work, and going to bed, and that's just the way it is, and they're okay with that. Until one day, this wizard comes along named Gandalf, and he goes to Bilbo, and he says, "Would you like to go on an adventure?" And of course, Bilbo says no, because he wants nothing to do with adventure. And so Gandalf leaves. Well, the next day, 13 dwarves come to Bilbo's house. Apparently, Gandalf had told the dwarves that Bilbo was in on the adventure. And so, to make a long story short, they argue and convince Bilbo to go on this journey, and it ends up changing his life. And I think about what we just read. These disciples were followers of John the Baptist. They were pretty content with what they had going on. And then Jesus comes along. And all John says is, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." And that's all it took. And these guys took off on this new adventure. Everything up until that point was fine. They had their everyday life of being disciples of John the Baptist, and he was pouring into them and teaching them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes along. And they said, "You know what? I need to go that way. And so what I want to do today is I want to kind of set up where we're going to be starting next Sunday. And it's actually going to be 42 days because it just works out a little easier that way with the weeks. And so, but we're going to do 42 days of prayer for our church. And we're going to have pretty specific focuses. We're going to break it up into 3 2-week sections. Week one, we're going to focus on ourselves and our spiritual health and our personal relationship with Jesus. And then part two, which is the second 2 weeks, is going to be focused on our family's spiritual health, how we are at living out what we just talked about when we brought up these families up here. How are we at living out raising our kids in a Christian home and having Christ be the center of our marriages and the center of our relationships and the center of our friendships? And then weeks five and six are going to be focused on our church and how that personal relationship with Christ, how that family dynamic with Christ pours into our body of Christ here at Bangor Liberty Friends. What is our vision? What is our direction? What is it that we want people to think of when they hear the name Bangor Liberty Friends Church? What do we want to be known for? What is it that God is calling us to do specifically? And so I think that this passage of Scripture kind of helps us set up for the kind of mindset that we want to have going into these 42 days of prayer, these 42 days of reflection, of getting closer with God is really what it's about. And so it's going to take some investing. It's going to take us saying, you know, maybe we're like Bilbo Baggins and we kind of like the way things are going and we're kind of set in our ways and we're pretty comfortable not having an adventure. But God's calling us to an adventure. God's calling us into something great. Things like the new members and dedicating children and the new families that we've seen coming into our fellowship. These are things that God's doing in our church, and he's saying, I'm setting you up for something. In ministry and council a few weeks ago, I said we could look at this and we could say, man, we're good right where we are. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. But I don't think that's what God's calling us to. I had a professor show us a picture of a rocket ship taking off. And he compared this to the church, not our church, but to the church, universal, across the world. And he said, when a rocket takes off, all people see is the big burst of flame, and it just takes a couple of seconds, and then that thing is gone and off into the air. What they don't see is how deep that launch pad is, the foundation that rocket has to be put on in order for that blast to happen, in order for that rocket to shoot off into space. There has to be a lot of foundation there. And that's what these next 42 days are going to be about. It's going to be about building a foundation. Maybe nothing exciting is going to happen in these 42 days other than us just growing deeper in our walk with God, which to me is exciting, but you know, nothing physical. We're not going to see physical things start to happen. Maybe we will. I don't know. But the focus is just going to be on us strengthening our personal relationships with God, us strengthening the Christ element in our family, to making sure that he's present in everything that we do, and then strengthening that idea of where is God taking our church, really seeking him out. You know, not coming up with our own ideas and then asking God to bless them, but to ask God what he's up to, and then we're going to get on board with that. So that's where we're going. I just want to take a few things out of today's scripture and kind of help us get ready for that. And I think that there's three things that we can learn from Jesus, but from this scripture to help us get ready for these 42 days of prayer. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Because that's really what we're going to be doing. We're going to be really seeking out and following Jesus, maybe more intently than we ever have. Maybe more intently than we've ever thought about doing it. Maybe we thought we were doing a good job, and then these next 42 days we're going to be like, man, this is awesome. I want to do this more. I hope that's what we find out. As I thought about it, I thought, man, following Jesus is kind of like following a sports team. Now, maybe you don't know this, but I'm a KU fan, Kansas Jayhawks. Maybe some of you weren't aware of that. Maybe you haven't been to my office or in my house or anything like that, but I'm a Kansas Jayhawks fan. And as a Kansas Jayhawk fan, I want to know about the Kansas Jayhawks. I want to know who's on their team. I want to know who's starting. I want to know their stats. I want to know the coach and what he's doing, what kind of defense he runs, what kind of offense he runs. And I think most avid sports fans, I don't care if it's basketball, football, whatever, when you follow a team and you're passionate about the team, these are the kind of things you want to know. In an even deeper sense, you want to know what the coach is about. You know, I like to know Kansas coach Bill Self. I like to know what his personality is, what he believes in, how he builds up these guys to be men as they leave college and things like that. And so following Jesus is a lot like following a sports team. It's a lot more important, but we have to invest the same kind of attitude and the same kind of desire. We have to know Jesus. What is he about? What's he up to? What does he want from me? What does Bill Self want from his players? What does Jesus want from me? And so that's the first thing that I think we have to draw from, is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. As Jesus walks by, John the Baptist says, look, behold the Lamb of God. And behold is a word that's used to draw attention. It's just like when somebody's walking with you and they say, look, we can't help but turn our heads and see what they're pointing at. Sometimes it's nothing, but sometimes it's pretty cool. That's what John the Baptist was doing. He was saying, you know, up until now, you were following me, and I was teaching you things that were important, but this guy knows what's going on. This guy is the guy that you need to follow, so go do that. So the first step is knowing Jesus, and to know him, we have to spend time with him. We read here that after Jesus realizes that these guys are following him, he turns around and he's basically like, what do you want? And they say, well, where are you staying? And so he takes them and they stay with him. And in our time, it would be that, you know, it was morning when that happened, and they stayed with him till about 4 o'clock is how that would be translated in our time. So most of the day they spent with Jesus, sitting with him, talking with him, getting to know what he was about, getting to know why he was here, what his mission was. And by the end of that, they were like, man, this is the guy I need to be with. Not only that, but they were so impacted by that they went and told people, you got to come see, this is the Messiah. Come with me. Let's go follow him together. So the first question for us to ask as we prepare to enter into these 42 days is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you spent time with him? Have you decided to make him your Lord and Savior? Have you bought in to what he's about? On a sports team, for a sports team to be good, they have to buy in to the coach's plan. Well, Jesus is better than a coach. He's our Lord and Savior. Have we bought into the plan that he has for this world? He wants to come and redeem it. Have we bought into that? Are we excited about it? Do we want to be a part of that? The next thing is spending. As a KU fan, I want to spend time with KU. I want to watch them on TV. I read articles that are written about them in a couple of weeks, and I'm pretty excited about that. You know, any sports fan, you know, I know John's a Vikings fan. Because you'd get to go see them. You'd get to spend time with them. We have a little bit less of an advantage than the disciples because they actually got to walk with Jesus while he lived on this earth. And so the first question we have to ask is, well, how do we, because Jesus isn't here physically, get to spend time with him? Well, I just told you. I can't go hang out with the KU players. They'd probably think I was weird or some kind of stalker and have me arrested. But I can read about them. I can watch them and see what they're doing. I can learn more about them by seeing their character, by seeing how they are learning and they're living that out on the court. And so how do we get to know Jesus better? Well, we read about him. We have a pretty distinct advantage that sports fans don't have is that we can connect with him through prayer. If I pray to KU, nothing's going to happen. Except I'm going to look weird and you might want to have me arrested. But when we pray to Jesus, something happens because he sent the Holy Spirit to be our mediator, to be our guide. And so we can actually enter into the Holy of Holies and we can talk with the Creator of the universe. So we have Scripture, we have prayer, and then we have just God's work in the world. We can look around and see in nature and in people and in things that are happening, God's hand is at work. And even in the bad things that happen, good things come from that. And the Scripture talks about that. All things will work for the good of those who love him. Even when tragedies happen, good rises up. And powerful things can happen. So we can spend time with Jesus by seeing him at work, by reading about him and reading about the man that he was and the kind of life that he lived and the kind of life he calls us to live, and by spending time in prayer, by talking to him and by listening to him. So the next question as we enter into these 42 days of prayer is, do you spend time with Jesus? And then the third thing is telling. Telling. I got the chance to go see KU and Iowa State last year in Ames. Most of you know how that game turned out. KU did not win, as Paul walks back into the room and smiles at me. But what happened was, I was at the game with my father-in-law, both of us KU fans. Before we could even get out of the stadium, I already started getting text messages and phone calls and Facebook notifications of all the Iowa State fans I've met since I moved to Iowa, making fun of the fact that Iowa State had conquered the giant. And it was fun, right? It was fun for you to be able to push my buttons and let me know that, although I had seen it firsthand, that Iowa State beat KU. It's fun to tell when exciting things happen. Our relationship with Jesus should be exciting. It should be exciting. I don't know if it is for you right now, but I hope in the next 42 days as we begin to unfold this and begin to chase after him more deeply, maybe than we ever have, that it starts to get exciting for you. That as you're digging through Scripture and as you're praying and as you're asking questions and waiting on the answer from the Holy Spirit, that you start to say, man, this is exciting. This is an adventure. Christianity wasn't meant to be boring. It wasn't meant to just sit there and read black words on a white page and think, what does this mean? And get bored. It was meant to be exciting. God's calling us to an adventure. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus. We just celebrated day one of God's plan of redemption unfolding on this earth. And you and I are invited to be a part of that plan. If you're not excited about that, I don't know how to get you excited. The Creator of the universe is asking you to play a role in the plan of redemption for this world. I get goosebumps saying it. I hope you get goosebumps hearing it. That's exciting. And so he wants us to tell about him, about our time with him. As you're spending time over these next 42 days and you're digging and you're chasing and you're learning things about yourself and about God that maybe you've never known before, tell people about them. It's one thing to get excited and just say, yeah, that's really great, and let it all well up, but it's a whole nother level of excitement to let other people know what he's doing. A whole nother level. Did you know that when the story of the Messiah was told, every parent wanted their baby boy to be the Messiah? Every parent wanted their baby boy to be the Messiah. And so when Andrew finds out that he'd actually met the Messiah, he runs and tells his brother, hey, you know how mom wanted us to be the Messiah growing up and we weren't it? Well, guess what? I found him. Let's go be with him. That's the next best thing. Let's go be with him. And if you read on, you're going to find out that Jesus calls Philip to follow him too, and Philip goes off to tell Nathaniel. They can't help it. When you are with Jesus, when you're truly spending time with him and you are really in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the only thing you want to do is tell somebody. Because it's that great, it's that awesome, and you don't want to take it all for yourself. You want other people to experience that and to know what that feels like and to be able to enter into that kind of relationship. So do we share Jesus with our family and close friends? Sometimes it's hard to talk. It's harder to talk with family and close friends than it is to perfect strangers. But I'm hoping that with the second part of this 42 days where we really focus on Jesus and our family, that some of the devotions and some of the questions can really help you open up those conversations. Maybe not just around your dinner table. Maybe that's the part that comes easy. But maybe with your brothers and sisters, or maybe with your aunts and uncles, or your neighbors. I mean, they're all part of the family of God. Maybe this will give you some kind of a foundation to really push you over that edge and say, you know what, it's time that I share this with these people. It's time that I ask this question. Maybe nothing will come of it, but maybe something will. So at the end of the day, I probably don't need to be a KU fan. You probably don't need to be a Vikings fan or an Iowa State fan or an Iowa Hawkeyes fan. I'm sorry I didn't mention you today. It is basketball season, so. Oh, sorry. Anyway, following them is not important, but following Jesus is. Following a sports team can be exciting. It can give us something to look at and something to entertain us, but following Jesus can change our lives. And through us, it can change other people's lives if we're obedient. And so that's what the next 42 days, starting next Sunday, for 42 days, that's what it's about. It's about starting and at the end being transformed, being changed, because God's not done with us until we go to heaven. And so maybe some of you are like, well, I've been a Christian for, you know, 20, 30, 40, however many years. God's not done with you yet. You're different today than you were yesterday because he's still working on your heart. And he won't be done with you until he calls you home. And so I hope you're going into this with that mindset. I hope that you're excited about it. I hope that you're ready to be challenged, because it's going to be challenging at some points. It's been challenging for me to prepare it. You know, some of the questions that I'm thinking about putting in the devotion, I'm like, man, do I really want to ask that? That's kind of a hard question. I don't even want to answer that. But I think it's important for us. I think we have to start tearing down some of these barriers and really start getting to the nitty-gritty of what it is God wants for me personally, what he wants for my family, and what he wants for our church. So I'm excited about it. I hope that you are. I hope that you're willing to stick it out. I know 42 days is a long time to do anything. But, you know, on those days that you're having a hard time, you know, maybe going into this, you can find somebody to keep you accountable. I hope that you will. Maybe you can do that today before you leave. Just say, hey, I want to do this. So check on me. Make sure that I'm keeping up with this. Make sure that I'm digging. Make sure that I'm chasing after God. Make sure that I'm learning and I'm investing my time into this. So starting next Sunday, 42 days of prayer into three separate two-week sessions, starting with our own spirituality, moving into our family's spiritual health, and then our church asking for God to reveal a vision and direction for all of us. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful this morning. Thankful for your Son that you sent to save us all. I'm thankful for your invitation to be part of the redemptive plan for this world. I'm thankful for this church family. Lord, I can see the excitement and the smiles and in the wide eyes and the nodding of heads. Lord, people are ready for this. Maybe it's long overdue, but Lord, we're ready now and we're ready to embark on a new journey. I get a lot of inspiration from Bilbo Baggins, Lord. He didn't want to go. He had a hard time leaving what he knew and going into something unknown. But as he did it, Lord, he was changed for the better. And so, Lord, I pray that we can go into this journey optimistic, that we can see that you desire better things for us, and that we continue to grow until you call us home. Lord, I just pray that you continue to offer us protection from the evil one. Help us to seek you daily. Even in these next 7 days leading up to the start of this, Lord, we can be in prayer now. Lord, help us to pray that this is fruitful. Lord, that we can be dedicated to doing this. Like I said, 42 days is a long time to do anything. But Lord, I think that if we are obedient to this, that we are going to see amazing things happen. And Lord, 42 days is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the preparation period. We're just building the foundation. We want to see that rocket shoot off into space, and we know that you can do it. We just give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.